New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Mama always said breakfast was the most important meal of the day. Even when she got sick, she made sure we had a good breakfast and something different every day. We'd wake up on weekends to the smell of bacon or maybe sweet rolls in the oven. Even during the week, Mama always made sure we at least had a bowl of cereal or oatmeal before school. We always had 4 to 5 kinds of cereal, so we could always have variation. Mama loved breakfast. Today, I poured Joel and I some Cheerios into our bowls. We had that yesterday, and I wanted oatmeal or eggs, but we were out. We were out of almost everything except a couple cans of soup and a couple boxes of cereal. We had cereal all day yesterday because the only soup left was split pea and some tomato, which we both hated. After we ate, it was Joel's turn for the dishes. We went to bed so early yesterday, we slept a long time, and it was still dark this morning. We tried to watch TV, but even though the power was on today, all that was on every channel was the repeating warnings about staying inside and avoiding other people so you didn't get infected. Sometimes that doctor guy would come on and explain that it was a virus and there was no medicine for it yet, but they were working on it. Dad said he would be back early morning today with more food and some tools for digging. I double-checked and made sure he had circled today, Tuesday, on the calendar. I had crossed out Sunday, the night he left, and Monday, yesterday, before I went to bed, to make sure I wouldn't forget. We had to get Mama in the grounds today. The basement was starting to smell. So Joel and I went out to see what we could find as soon as it started getting light. Dad said it was okay to borrow stuff now from people, because if they were too sick to try to stop us, they weren't going to need the stuff anyway. We went down to Mr. King's house by the state road. Him and his wife would always let us have eggs from his chickens, and sometimes Dad or myself would mow his lawn. I figure he wouldn't mind taking a few eggs now, especially, and maybe even some of the corn he grew. Mr. King's yard was quiet. We couldn't even hear the chickens, but we could see him walking back and forth with a bucket to the henhouse. He didn't look so good. He was walking real slow, and he was all dirty. He didn't even look up at us as we walked up. He was making the same pattern over and over. He would start from his favorite perch on the top stair of his porch, legs dangling down the stairs. After a few seconds, he would stand up, walk to the henhouse and fill the bucket, walk to the coop and dump the bucket into the trough, walk back and put the bucket back, and then sit back down on the step. By the time we got close, we saw him do it 6 or 7 times. He must have been doing it for a while because the whole area was thick with mud. His dog, Ty, was drinking out of the trough, and he looked full and healthy. I told Joel, I guess I knew where the chickens went. Up close, I could see he was sick like Mom had been. Thin, because he had forgotten to eat. Tired like Mom, because he had started doing something and never remembered to stop. He wouldn't stop until he died, now. I looked at Joel, and he was staring at Miss King on her porch. She had half fallen out of her chair. It looks like she was knitting a blanket when she started forgetting. Part of her arm was red and bloody. Joel threw up and said it wasn't the chickens keeping the dog fat. I yelled at Mr. King to stop and help his wife. He didn't look up at me. Ty growled, though. Ty never growled at people. Mr. King said strangers could come in and steal the TV, and Ty would be happy to see them and sad to see them leave. Joel and I decided to go. Around the corner of the state road, there were a couple more houses. Our little road was all gravel and was kind of hard to see if you didn't know it was there, so people usually left us alone. On the big road, though, you could see all the houses were standing open. Dad said people had looted, even all the way out here, because they panicked when the president came on TV the third time. The first time the president came on, he said the virus was kind of like that old-timer's disease, where you would start to forget things, and then, when it got worse, you would only want to do one thing. He said scientists didn't know where it started, but were working on a cure. The second time he came on and said that it was important to keep calm and to try to limit contact with other people so it didn't spread. That's when the news started showing the first riots and stuff. The last time he came on, he said something about America being great, that the scientists were still working on it, and God have mercy on our souls. Then they stopped showing anything on TV except the warnings. The big house closest to the corner was where the richest family in town lived. They had to be rich, because they had three cars that all worked just fine, and they owned the gas station and were the only people that really owned anything in town besides their own house. They were the first to leave in their big truck when the president made his announcement. The dad stopped by all the houses and told everyone if they were smart, they would go too. They had twins in the grade behind me, so I was kind of sad to see them go and hoped they would be back. And now I didn't think they would. They had just left everything and gone. Dad had stopped there to borrow one of their chairs when he left for tools and food, because our car didn't work most of the time anyway. They still had a car left in the driveway. Joel said we should borrow it and try to drive to Uncle Gary's. I told him I'm 11 and he's younger than me, and we can't drive anywhere except on video games. He said it would be like a video game if we crashed a little, no one would care, and there was no one out on the roads now anyway. But he didn't want to go into the house and try to find the keys, though. Their house looked big and empty and just wrong. I wasn't going in there. Maybe tomorrow, though. If Dad wasn't back, we would have to. The only store in town was the gas station, and we knew from looking the day Dad left that nothing was in there. That looters had taken all the pop and canned goods. Some genius even left the fridge open, so the milk and stuff was all way beyond bad. The couple cans of soup we did have at home were scrounged from the back in some otherwise empty boxes. A split pea and tomato were starting to sound not so bad after all. I wondered what they would taste like mixed together. We tried the phone behind the counter again. There was still a dial tone, but no matter what number we called, no one ever answered. We tried Uncle Gary and Grandma. We tried picking numbers out of the phone book, making up numbers, and even calling 911. No one ever answered anymore, except for maybe an answering machine. We didn't know what else to do. Outside, we started hearing clicking and a scraping that sounded kind of soft and kind of far off. We peeked out of the window and saw someone hiking. He was walking really slow and with a big limp. He had one of those fancy backpacks and a walking stick, just walking down the middle of the road. It looked like he had twisted his ankle, and it was all bent, and he was walking with a big, uneven limp. The bottom of his foot wasn't even touching the ground. He was walking on his ankle, and it was ground down and bloody-looking, but he kept walking like it didn't hurt, like he had forgotten how to hurt or how to stop walking. We hid and watched him go by. He didn't even look right or left, just kept walking. We didn't move until he was too far away to see anymore. It was getting definitely past noon by now, and Dad still hadn't come back. We were scared, but didn't want to admit to each other that we knew something was wrong. Maybe Dad started forgetting and just kept driving. Maybe looters took his car. Maybe something else bad happened. We didn't say anything. We just ran back home and locked the doors. It was early, but maybe if we went to sleep now, we would wake up tomorrow and Dad would be home. Mama always said breakfast was the most important meal of the day. Even when she got sick, she made sure we had a good breakfast and something different every day. We'd wake up on weekends to the smell of bacon or maybe sweet rolls in the oven. Even during the week, Mama always made sure we at least had a bowl of cereal or oatmeal before school. We always had 4 or 5 kinds of cereal, so we could always have variation. Mama loved breakfast. Today, I poured me and Joel some Cheerios in our bowls. We had that yesterday, and I wanted oatmeal or eggs, but we were out. We were out of almost everything except a couple cans of soup and a couple boxes of cereal. We had cereal all day yesterday because the only soup left was split pea and some tomato, which we both hated. After we ate, it was Joel's turn for the dishes. We went to bed so early yesterday. We slept a long time, and it was still dark this morning. We tried to watch TV, but even though the power was on today, all that was on every channel was the repeating warning about staying inside and avoiding other people so you don't get infected. Sometimes that doctor guy would come on and explain that it was a virus and there was no medicine for it yet, but they were working on it. We had to get Mama in the grounds today. The basement was starting to smell pretty bad. Dad said he would be back early today with more food and some tools for digging. I double-checked and he had circled today, Tuesday, on the calendar. I had crossed out Sunday the night he left and Monday yesterday before I went to bed to make sure I wouldn't forget.
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.